This is the place, and this is the time. Here and now, the mystery awaits to break into our experience, to change our minds, to change our lives, to change our ways, to help us see the world and the whole of life in a new light. This is the place. This is the time. Here and now, let us praise the mystery by joining together in song. At the center of our service and at the center of our lives, we take this time to light candles of memory, candles of hope, or because we feel troubled, blessed, conflicted, or simply because we'd like to add a little light to the world. Join me, please, in an attitude of prayer. Mystery of many names and mystery beyond all naming. Today we bring with us thoughts of those who have come before us. In dealing with the dead, the first thing that's obvious is they sure are a lot easier to get along with than the living. Living have a tendency to protest when you say something negative about them, while the dead seem just fine with whatever is said. Perhaps the dead are grateful for the release from taking things personally. Perhaps it's time to start living our lives with the same sort of abandon that's enjoyed by those who have passed on. There are many ways in which we honor the dead in this society, but forgetting about their shadow sides isn't one of them. We must remember that those who have gone before us are no nobler than us, nor are they less human for simply being dead. We can learn some lessons from the dead. One, we could start taking things a bit less personally ourselves. We could imagine that we are already dead and see how that feels. If it changes the way we live, if it lessens our burden, if it allows us a certain freedom that we wouldn't have when we keep thinking we'll live forever. Lastly, we hope that those who have brought memorabilia and pictures of their dearly departed ones for the Day of the Dead altar will be comforted by their acts. Simply putting my mom and dad's picture up there on that altar made a difference for me and moved me strangely. I also put a picture of Hawthorne, my best dog friend. I wear his dog tags around my neck even today. The sound of them makes me think of him bouncing up beside me, his toothy grin, the way he twisted his body when he had a strong wag on. We need to remember those sentient beings that have gone before, that have comforted us, that have offered us pain, that were there for us to the best of their abilities. But then we must turn back out to life, to living, to love, because that's what's demanded of us by life. We must return the compliment of life by living fully in the moment, giving regardless of what's returned, stepping out when the moment presents itself, never fearing, or at least not letting fear stop us. Always ready to go that extra mile and own what comes our way. We give thanks this morning that death is there for us, that we carry our own deaths with us, and we would hope that death will be the good companion, the friend that never lies, the friend that never leaves, the lover who will embrace us even, and most especially when we appear unembraceable. We pray this in the name of everything that is holy, and that is precisely everything. Amen. I've got two readings for this short sermon this morning. The first one is from Luke, the 24th chapter, the first through the fifth verses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them in unison, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" The second is a poem from Philip Booth. It's called First Lesson. "Lie back, daughter. Let your head be tipped back in the cup of my hand. Gently, and I will hold you. Spread your arms wide. Lie out on the stream and look high at the gulls. A dead man's float is face down. You will dive and swim soon enough where this tidewater ebbs to the sea. Daughter, believe me. When you tire on the long thrash to your island, lie up and survive. As you float now where I held you and let go, remember when fear cramps your heart what I told you. Lie back gently, wide to the light year stars. Lie back and the sea will hold you. This will be a short sermon. Perhaps in today's society, these six words are the most comforting you can hear in any church. This will be a short sermon. Today we will talk about the different kinds of deaths and maybe even a little resurrection. Perhaps you think speaking of a little resurrection is like speaking of being a little bit pregnant. Perhaps you're right. What we want to do is inquire about death and resurrection, and to do that we must first ask questions. So what are questions? A question is one of the only ways to open ourselves up. To ask questions is to reach out, to seek, to explore our environment. I'm thinking now about Dr. Lohr's invocation in which he says, questions more profound than answers. Why is it questions can be more profound than answers? It has something to do with the fact that our questioning is the edge of life, the fingers of our growth, if you will, reaching out into the world and into ourselves. What would existence be like without questions? Once a man entered a cave in Roquefort, France, and he found there a cheese that someone had obviously forgotten. There were green veins of spoilage running throughout the trees, the cheese. Anyone in his right mind, who was not French, would have covered the cave entrance with a stone and left the cheese there, but this man asked a simple question. I wonder what those green veins of spoilage taste like. Without this man, we would not have Roquefort cheese today. Who and what are we? These questions have baffled theologians and philosophers from the start. To ask these questions assume, one, that we were at one time, or can be in the future, or are right now something, an object among other objects. As a practicing Buddhist, I do not believe in a permanent self. In other words, there is no thing in me that can purport to be anything substantial. I am, in essence, without substance, and some of you have known that for some time now. The minute we have an answer for who we are, we have, in all probability, died. The only answer to whom or what we are is called a eulogy. The moment of death comes, and the sentence of our life, which is each of us, can finally stop and have a period. Short of a eulogy, we are incomplete, in process, always flowing. Hence, the importance of the moment, the only place that we existentially belong. This flowing into each moment is for me a form of enlightenment. It is for me a form of resurrection. When I am reborn into each moment, my eyes see what there is to see, and my ears hear what there is to be heard. On the 2nd of November, El Día de los Muertos is celebrated in Mexico and in Latin America. On this auspicious day, we will dedicate our oak memorial sculpture in the foyer. Please don't peek, because if Sterling catches you, he'll break your fingers. The memorial tokens to be placed on the oak tree are butterflies. How's your insectology? I know that's not a word, but who here remembers the stages through which a butterfly goes? The butterfly larva is called a caterpillar, and it becomes a pupa and resides within the cocoon, where it undergoes metamorphosis and emerges a butterfly. The reason Sterling Herody chose this image is its use in the Mayan culture as a symbol for resurrection. Scientifically, metamorphosis is considered complete when there is no suggestion of the adult in the larval stage. In other words, no caterpillar would consider itself a butterfly. We human beings, we Homo sapiens, undergo a metamorphosis similar to the butterfly and the frog. For in the womb, we are swimmers, not walkers on land. Our lungs are dormant, for we receive all of our nourishment and our oxygen through the umbilical cord, complements of our host animal, often referred to as mama. One of the clues of complete metamorphosis is the habitat change between the larval and the adult stages of life. Tadpoles live in the water, frogs live on the land, caterpillars crawl the earth while butterflies fly above it, dining on the nectar of flowers. In the passage from Luke, the women go to the tomb with spices and ointment to complete the burial preparation of Jesus' body. They discover that the stone has been rolled back, and instead of Jesus inside, they see two men in sparkling clothes, and they both ask a simultaneous question: why do you look for the living among the dead? Another wise man once said, to become free, we must see all of our past as a mere preface to this very moment. To become free, we must see all of our past as a preface to this very moment. That means all our degrees, our PhDs, our honors, our medals, our six-figure salaries, our pedigrees all the way back to the Mayflower, our DNA, our IRAs, our adventures and misadventures are all mere preface to right now. There are cocoons which we must break through in order to become adults. The cocoon of the family defines you in the order in which you arrived, in the manner in which you reacted to, and in the world. The cocoon of childhood is a tough nut to crack. But leaving mama, letting daddy go, dropping the hands of brothers and sisters, and venturing forth into the world is the way out of the familial cocoon. It isn't fun. It can cause problems within families of origin. And many times when we venture back into those families of origin, we literally have to fight not being placed back in our childhood cocoon. How many of us have made trips home as adults? And lying in the bed that we grew up in, we sense something stagnant and death-like about the tombs, I mean the rooms, of our youth. Ask yourself this: does a butterfly ever hang out with a caterpillar? Where do we belong? We create other homes, don't we? The places where our kids are cocooned and places that eventually they must break from if they are to be free. We create these homes. When they leave, will we then be dusting their cocoons, hoping for that weekend in which we will be pretending that the family is back together again? Our lives are not the glittering trail left behind us any more than the glistening trail of the snail is the snail itself. Our lives are not what has passed, but whether what rise ahead, complete and total possibility. This is true when you're 10 years old. This is true when you're 90 years old. Another cocoon awaits us, and that is the cocoon of the community of agreement. This cocoon is cultural, societal, national. For those who break free here, there awaits a reality of our own choosing, a reality stemming from within, a reality which evolves, a reality which we choose by freely intending it. Freedom, finally, is not something we can sell to other countries, our import to other cultures. Freedom is like our dead. It haunts us, provokes us, causes us to dream dreams, dreams that reach far into the future, dreams that have us gazing with great awareness until our last breath. So on this Dia de los Muertos Sunday, this day that we have erected an altar to the dead and placed our pictures and memorabilia, I would ask that we remember the words of the glowing strangers in Jesus' tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And remember, we're not being rebuked for looking there. We're only asked to consider why. In complete metamorphosis, the word imago refers to an insect in its final adult, sexually mature, and usually winged state. The imago of the caterpillar is the butterfly. The imago of the tadpole is the frog. The imago of human beings is the imago Dei, the image of God. We are the image of God. We have projected this image into the heavens. The source of that projection is something within us. This knowledge leads us to none other than our winged state, free, free from the prejudice of others, free from our own limitations, free to dream, free to think, free to be whatever we imagine we might be. Free, great God Almighty, free at last.